Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, everyone. Welcome. As always, a great show today where you can find out how to help yourself. Certain things that may be going on within you or bothering you that you just don't know why. What's going on with me? Why do I knee jerk react to these things? Why am I so sensitive? Why do I take people the wrong way, maybe? Well, we're going to talk about this and a lot more. And as always, I encourage you to call in if you have any questions or comments here on the couch. The number here live in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Give us a shout. Come on, we'd love to hear from you if you have a question about what we're talking about today. Kind of try to relate that. That'd be really cool. Also, if you are shy, don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me live here at the stations, hooked right up. My email, docmichellewith2ls@AOL.com. docmichelle@AOL. Easy stuff. Let me know. And, you know, we're going to try to help you out today. And if you're a regular listener, you know that I've talked about the subject of how we repress or suppress memories, which have kind of been unconsciously blocked, you know, due to a possible memory being associated with a high level of stress or trauma, usually from our early childhood, right? But we can have trauma throughout our lives. And, you know, I've had various callers ask me if certain repressed memories may still be affecting their lives, and also what type of therapy they can get to help them manage things like that, or manage the depression or anxiety that they're suffering from those earlier issues. Also, in the past, we've talked about getting to deeper levels of the mind with hypnotherapy. And as you may know, decades of research and clinical trials have shown that hypnosis can be remarkably effective for a whole variety of conditions, guys. So today we're talking about getting into those parts of the conscious and unconscious mind, as well as the concept of the subconscious mind, and also how early traumatic events or folks in our lives have influenced us, you know, in our everyday lives as adults. You know, I mean, I have clients who are, you know, middle-aged or even seniors who have still had a lot of traumatic events in their lives early on, and they're still reacting to things, and they're still fearful of things. So, I mean, it's okay. No judgment, guys. And again, if you'd like to call in live, 323-203-0815. All right, today we're going to find out about these concepts. I have a live in-studio guest today. Yay! He's awesome. His name is Jeff Tannen. He's a licensed psychotherapist and clinical hypnotherapist. We're going to be talking about what that means. And he has maintained a private therapeutic practice here in LA for over 20 years. And he's treated all issues of mental disorders, all different types. He helps folks out with everything and relationships as well, which is really great. He's been around, done that, and he's good. Jeff is also known for hosting workshops and groups in Southern California. He's a columnist on mental health topics for local magazines, and he regularly appears on radio and TV. And what's really cool is Jeff's also an author, and today, among many things, we're going to be talking about his latest book. It's really a good read, guys. If you like fictional, it's sort of suspense thrillers in a way that are psychologically oriented, this is the one you have to check out. I don't want to spoil any of the really cool twists and turns and all that, but it just takes us on a suspense-filled journey, and readers get to explore the personal lives of a psychiatrist and a patient. And that's all I'm going to say about that, and I'll let my special guest talk about that. So nice to have you here on the couch with me, Jeff. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. It's lovely to be here. Lovely to meet you. I'm a fan of your show.
Yay!
Yes, and I'd just like to say that I think your show performs a wonderful service to the people out there. They really need it. They're hungry for enlightenment and information.
I think they are. I think a lot of folks really, you know, need just some ideas from whatever orientation, whatever we're dealing with, whether it's psychodynamic or cognitive behavioral, and all this kind of may mean mumbo jumbo to you guys out there. But, you know, there's certain types of therapeutic techniques that can really help people get more insight into why they feel the way they feel. Yeah.
Yes. And if something that you hear doesn't mean anything to you at the moment, it may pop into your consciousness a week later, a month later, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I heard that, and that fits. That's meaningful.
Isn't that amazing how our brain works?
Yes,
you know, we just,
it is.
Wow, where did that come from?
It really is. And I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit.
Cool. And I want you all to know that you can call in again if you have questions, 323-203-0815. So let's kind of jump into your book, which was a great read. It's called Transference. We're going to talk about what that means. You guys might have heard about it, but I know you as a professional psychotherapist and hypnotherapist have had so many clients and so many different experiences and stuff. So I know that your book's probably based on many of those little people
oh, yes.
that you've met and things
oh,
like
yes.
that. So you incorporate a lot of, ooh, cool. You have a wealth of information and great, you know, tools, of course. It's all confidential. But why did you call your book Transference?
Well, you know, transference is an unconscious, meaning very out of the conscious awareness, redirection of feelings from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
And in my novel, Transference, with it, which is a psychological, I call it a fantasy thriller.
Yeah.
Because the characters and the events are so, in some regards, over the top.
Yeah.
In the first scene of the book, a young man that happens to have a sexual identity problem
yeah.
that he's trying to cope with
yeah.
comes into the office of a psychiatrist. His name is Dr. Gerald Rusk, seeking help. And by the third session, which is where the story opens up, we find that he is falling in love, he thinks, with his doctor, and
okay.
he's rather embarrassed about it.
Sure.
The doctor, of course, recognizes and has seen this before and, you know, confronts to the patient
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you are having transference
right.
and explains that he is having feelings about his doctor that
yeah.
really relate to his father.
Ah.
Yes, because transference mm-hmm. is usually about a rather significant person from our past.
Okay.
And what he doesn't know is that the psychiatrist is having counter transference.
Aha.
Yes. We as clinicians can occasionally have counter transference
yes.
With our patients.
Sure.
And so without getting too much into the plot, I would just say that the transference and the counter transference that they both share
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Create a kind of a bond, and you really have to get into the story to understand what that means.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I think that's really. And could you read a little excerpt in just a little bit from your book?
Yes,
because
I
just want to tease the listeners a little bit. But I think it's such a fascinating concept about, you know, how we transfer feelings onto other people in general. We'll talk about that coming up. You know, and how in and. We, as therapists, have counter-transference. I mean, if a client reminds us of our really bad mommy.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be maybe angry at that person.
Yes, and as you know, Dr. Michelle, if we feel that our countertransference is getting a little bit out of hand or too intense for us,
yeah,
we need to take it to our colleagues and work on it, just as though, you know, we were the patient.
We really do. It's really nice to have, you know, a confidant and another therapist who can say, I think what you're doing is, aha, that's right.
You know, yes.
We're not all perfect. We need the help, too.
We do.
To help others, right?
We do. Our patients often, I'm just, after all this time in practice, I'm just so, I find it so remarkable that my patients think I'm a model of absolute perfection and often, you know, pedestalize me.
Sure.
And occasionally in my practice, I will, you know, when I think it's therapeutically beneficial, mention something personal about myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do that too, as you know,
it's important.
Dr. Michelle.
I think it's really important, Jeff, because I think, you know, it's called transparency, you know, being a little more open about, wow, I know what you're saying, because at a certain time in my life, I experienced that too. You mean it makes you more vulnerable? There,
yes.
She said it. And trustworthy,
yes,
to other people. They think, oh, they do get me because they've understood that. And I think it's a really cool – some therapists don't do that. They just want to remain stoic and, you know, very
– Yeah, yeah. That tends to happen in real passive – what's called passive therapies, which, you know, the therapist shakes his head and nods his head and says, uh-huh, yeah, oh, isn't that interesting? And
right.
The patient, you know, often – feels frustrated and wants more.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Wants a real live interaction.
Right, right. And what is the most famous question they put in movies and television that the therapists usually ask? And how does that make you feel?
Yes.
And they're, of course, writing down, pretending like they're writing down, and they're actually putting their lunch menu on a... going, right.
Yes.
A little humor there. Okay, I want to hear a little taste of the excerpt from your book, because I really want listeners to check this out. It's fascinating. So,
well, I'm just going to straightforward read it to you.
Okay.
It's a little promo that I use. It's
cool.
Really straight off the back cover of the book.
Okay.
Dr. Gerald Rusk is known by everyone in his community to be a brilliant, award-winning psychiatrist and devoted husband. But following his mother's death, a storm is gathering. Troubled by new smells and violent memories of war force him to question his worth. All around him, sinister forces gather to undermine his success and sanity. But who is behind these malicious enterprises intent on destroying his hard-earned happiness? Rusk suspects everyone, his colleagues, his friends, even his wife may be plotting his downfall. He knows that there's no one he can trust. However, when Andrew Carter walks into Dr. Rust's office for the first time, seeking a safe harbor from his own perfect storm of psychological distress, Gerald feels a bond with him that will change both of their lives forever.
I want more.
and that bond, incidentally, yeah, really starts with the transference.
Right, it does.
Where the story opens.
And boy, do they learn a lot from each other, but mostly the psychiatrist, which I love because, you know, it's like everybody thinks, like you said, we have, you know, we're on this pedestal and we have all the knowledge. Wow. That psychiatrist goes, ah, he has this aha,
yeah,
thing at the end. And again, folks, if you would like to check out the book, let's just let folks know right now maybe where they can pick up Transference.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's available on Amazon.com, mm-hmm, BarnesandNoble.com, Lulu.com bookstore, and it's available in hardcover, paperback, and Kindle.
Cool. All right. We'll tell you more about that at the end of the show once again, folks. And don't forget that the show will be available to replay and or download tomorrow. Sunday, the archives will be up so you can find out more information on how to get in touch with Jeff Tannen if you'd like, or find out more about him and get his book. All right. Once again, today we're talking about transference and different deep states of mind. My special guest, Jeff Tannen, is a clinical hypnotherapist and a licensed psychotherapist. Been doing it a while. And been there and done that. I want to also mention, folks, that our show is sponsored by one of our favorite sponsors today, Glow Soulwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. They call it Sacred G. So when you put on Glow Soulwear, you wear a higher vibration. Lighten up and check out GLOWSOULWear. That's GlowSoulwear.com. GlowSoulwear.com. Thank you for being our special sponsor today on the show. Kind of appropriate, elevating our consciousness and helping us out. Speaking about consciousness, let's talk about it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we hear about all these different states of mind, and what I really liked is the way your book helped people really sort of understand the different states of consciousness we have. So, and I think a lot of people misunderstand those concepts. So could you explain what the concepts of consciousness versus unconscious versus subconscious mean?
Sure.
What's all that? What is all that?
Sure. Well, unconscious, as you may or may not know, was Freud's great discovery. And it is really unknown to all of us for the most part. It's where all those deep, dark traumas and all of those kind of issues reside. And then there's the subconscious and the conscious. And, you know, I just want to break away for a moment and add that, you know, one of the things I love so much about doing this intimate work with the subconscious and conscious is because the way it's constructed is like this brilliant, amazing computer that is just more awesome than anything that's out there. You have, if you could imagine this, you have a vast reservoir, which is the bottom part of this double-deck computer. In it lies just about, everything from the moment we're born.
Wow.
All events, memories, symbols, associations, just everything. And then there is the conscious mind, which is the top layer of the computer, which is really only 8% of our mind.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So we're not functioning in that conscious level all the time.
Well, we are right now talking using our conscious mind.
Right.
The conscious mind really serves to give us logic and reason and is the decision maker.
Yeah.
In between these two levels of the computer is like a membrane, a layer that we call the critical mind, and it's only like 2% of the mind. And I'd like to make a statement here that may be a little jaw-dropping to a lot of people out there. Did you know that perhaps more than half of this nation is walking around in hypnosis and doesn't even know it?
You know, I have heard that, and that is scary. I mean, that's a really scary concept. So, I mean, we're all like, you are hypnotized. But it's just sort of what you're saying is automatic. We're just kind of reacting like robots, sort of automatic.
Yes. Well, let me demystify for you a little bit. It's a condition that, of course, I see regularly in my practice. It's called hypersuggestibility. And it happens when that top portion of the computer, conscious mind, becomes overloaded with message units of information.
Too much information coming in on a conscious level.
Yeah. Yes, and that information comes from four different levels. Mm-hmm. The environment, which is, you know, everything going around us and who we're talking to at the moment, the temperature in the room, everything. Mm-hmm. Then there's the body. How we're feeling at the moment, pain, hunger, even need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Then there's the unconscious, which is always sending up its data about what's happening and coming in. And then there's the conscious mind, which is all the while trying to logic and make sense and make decisions what to do with it.
Wow.
Well,
yes.
When there is an excessive amount of overload from all of these different sources, it drops through because the conscious mind, well, being like a computer, it it crashes.
Yes, exactly.
And it falls into through the layer of the critical mind into the subconscious.
Yeah.
And let me kind of describe what that hypersuggestibility would look in a real live person. Let's say you have a young lady, we'll call her Joan. She wakes up, the alarm clock doesn't go off. She's late for work, doesn't have time to have breakfast. Her stomach is growling. She gets in the car. She's in just humongous, hideous freeway traffic. She's thinking about work, that stack of paper she's got on her desk. She's kind of not having a great time with her boss. Mm-hmm. She just had an argument the night before with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So this, you can see, is obviously a day from hell.
Yes.
But this is, it's exaggerated, but this would cause Joan to feel hypersuggestible.
Right.
What does hypersuggestible ability feel like?
Yeah.
Well, the symptoms are irritability, a departure from normal behavior, confusion, concentration problems, and inability to make decisions, and impatience. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a mild state of hypnosis that you're in. So you're not going to die from it. You will get through it. The treatment, the really best treatment for it is more hypnosis, because then the hypnotherapist can create a deeper state of hypnosis and start to what we call block and desensitize the person to all of those little things that are bothering them.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Yes.
Short of that, what you need to do is just flood your mind with positive suggestions through the day. When you're in this state, it's real easy to get negative and spiral down. So you've just got to keep yourself from doing that. And just remember, I'm in a mild state of hypnosis. For the most part, you will have what we call venting dreams that will release it out of the mind. Venting dreams are those dreams that occasionally we wake up in the early morning remembering. So they serve to kind of expunge things from the mind that we don't need.
So that's a good thing.
You will get through it.
Those nightmares are good.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
When hypersuggestibility does go on for a period of time, it does become a depressive state. And that takes a little bit more work. That's, that's something else. I'd be happy to talk about that too.
Sounds cool. But you know what you were describing, you were saying, irritability and inability to concentrate and worrying about things, and she's driving to her job. Boy, that sounds like all of us here in Los Angeles, doesn't it?
Well, and that's true, Dr. Michelle. We have the movie and music industry here, and as us Los Angelians know, a lot of those people are over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
And, you know, kind of excitable.
Yes.
And do have those issues going on. And they're very, very busy people.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. You know, and there is, and of course, the freeways, which we won't get into. I'm always complaining about that. And I get calls from folks in other states going, really?
Right.
You have to deal with that? That's terrible. Anyway, if, in case you
people think LA is just this great haven. Mm-hmm. That this subtropical paradise, you know, it's full of stress, and the traffic. We spend so much time in traffic,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it accounts for road rage and a lot of aggression in people.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. I agree. So, you know, it is. And we are in a hypnotic state when we are driving here in Los Angeles. We just get into that, I've just got to do what I do and just shut off everything. And,
yes.
In case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Jeff Tannen. He's a licensed psychotherapist and also a clinical hypnotherapist. He's the author of a great new book. It's called Transference. Of course, you can get it on Amazon. And we're also going to tell you where you can pick it up and find out more about Jeff on his personal website. He is a specialist in many areas, and we're going to be talking about those areas too. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question for Jeff, the number here is 323-203-0815. Or if you are shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can give me a shout out through my email. It's a docmichelle@aol.com. I'm checking it right now. And we have a few questions coming up, and we're going to tackle those. But first of all, what I'd like to do is talk to you, Jeff, about, you know, hypnosis. Because I think a lot of people, what a fascinating subject. So can you sort of explain how hypnotherapy works?
Sure. Hypnosis is the most natural thing. It happens to us many times during the day, and we're not aware of it.
Mm.
For example, we've all been in the situation where we're talking to somebody and we're finding them just so boring. Their lips are kind of moving, but we're not there. Or, you know, we go to a movie that really holds us for a couple of hours, and we come out and we just can't shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of a form of hypnosis, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do, all of us, go in and out of hypnosis. But when we create it in a therapeutic setting,
mm-hmm.
What really happens is we do overload mm-hmm. That conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
We use words to do it. No longer is that spinning spiral wheel that you see in,
right.
in the movies.
The scary old things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We do that with kids to capture their attention
mm-hmm.
and imagination. But when we overload the mind, and I usually do something called an arm-raising conversion at the same time while I'm talking to them, which causes an involuntary lifting of the arm.
Yeah.
So this then causes the fight-flight mechanism that we all have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And since you can't fight it,
right.
you take flight and you slip into that dreamy, drowsy, very relaxed, very calm, very in control,
mm-hmm.
very aware state mm-hmm. of what we call hypnosis.
Wow.
So that's technically how it happens.
Okay.
Hypnosis, you're probably going to ask me, I can anticipate your question.
Yep.
There are a lot of myths about what hypnosis is.
Right. People are scared.
Yes,
oh, no.
They are. And there's nothing to be scared of. Once again, you know, we all are in and out of it all day. So how scary can it be?
Right, right.
Probably the number one myth is that we could be made to do something
mm-hmm.
That we can't or don't want to do. And that is patently false.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it's not in our moral fiber to do.
Right.
So the subconscious will just reject it.
So we would only do, in a hypnotic state, we would only do things that we would normally do morally. In other words, someone's not going to make us cluck like a chicken or
no,
right?
No.
Or harm someone else, unless we have that in our...
there is a state called somnambulism.
Yes.
Some people are born with it. It's called natural somnambulism. Some people just evolve into it because of their stressors, where they are 100% suggestible all the time. Now, if you're 100% suggestible to everything, you're in hypnosis. That means that your ability to censor and edit is kind of not there. And so these people are highly, highly suggestible.
Wow.
They're the ones that you see in stage hypnotic shows.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And these stage hypnotherapists know how to identify them. They can see the people in the audience, and they're usually shaking their head along with everything that he's saying on stage. They're already going into hypnosis.
Yes.
So he knows how to pick them.
Right. Exactly.
There's no mystery there.
We're talking to Jeff Tannen, by the way, in case you just tuned in. He is a clinical hypnotherapist and also a licensed psychotherapist. He's written a book called Transference, which is a really great read. It tells you a lot about our different conscious states and also about the concept of transference, and it's a suspense thriller as well. We have a caller on the line.
All right.
Let's do it. Let's take a caller and see what's up. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and also my special guest, Jeff Tannen. Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. How are
you
today?
Hello, Anthony.
I'm doing great. Hey, Jeff. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing great. This is such a wonderful show, such a wonderful topic. You know, I'm an avid listener of the show. Thank you, Dr. Michelle, for taking my call.
You got it.
I had a question for Jeff. Jeff, I had an MRI about a week and a half ago, and I had a panic attack in the middle of my MRI.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I started panicking, I had a flashback. Now, I'm a 27-year-old man. I had a flashback from when I was 8 years old, Jeff.
Whoa.
I saw myself being... held against my will in a dog cage. I was playing with a friend of mine, and this is something that I if you asked me if this ever happened to me, I would not be able to tell you, but the moment that I was in this claustrophobic space, I saw this flashback, and it kind of haunted me. I feel like this is pulled something maybe from the past that I was not aware of previously.
Yes.
And I have a difficult time driving in traffic now. I've reawakened some claustrophobia, and I don't know what to do about it, Jeff.
Yes.
This has never happened to me, and I'm seeing a therapist, and I always listen to On the Couch. I thought I'd give it a shot and see if you could help me out.
Yeah. Well, this is an event of repressed memory. And from time to time, repressed memories do come up out of the blue. And, you know, it's not all that unlikely that in a situation of claustrophobia and panic and stress that you would trigger a repressed memory. Now, you're going to need to do some work on that repressed memory. That's a bit more than I could get into on the air, you know, if you'd like.
Right.
To you know, contact me. We can talk about that later. One thing about panic that most people don't know is diet has a lot to do with it.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not an MD, and I don't profess to be, but we've all heard of low blood sugar. And in a time, and in this your situation where you were claustrophobic, you became very stressed out, and so your brain used up the sugars that your body made, and you had a very, what we call precipitous, rapid drop in blood sugar, which created the feelings of panic, and, of course, in your case, the repressed memory. I do see a lot of people with panic disorders. I'll give you an example. Let's say a lady has just had the stress of a loss. She lost her husband, and she's not been feeling like herself lately. And she's in the supermarket, and all of a sudden, she's there picking tomatoes, and her heart starts palpitating. Her palms get sweaty. She's breathing, and she's feeling like she's going crazy. Well, what's really happening is she's really having a precipitous drop in blood sugar. The brain is out of sugar. It's not operating. It's screaming, I want more sugar. I want more sugar. And so the body begins to react in, you know, in the manner I just described. And so what I do with my panic people, the first thing is discuss rather lengthily about their diet. And nine out of ten times, Anthony, I find that their diet is really poor. They're junk food junkies and drink excessive amount of coffees and candies and sugar and all of that stuff. So that is something that needs to be treated. But what happens with this lady who has this event in the supermarket is that she – it goes away and – then a day or two or a week later, she's in another store doing something else, and it comes up again. And she has the same reaction. She doesn't know it. She doesn't know that what she's having is low blood sugar attacks. So now is the beginning of a panic disorder and sometimes a phobia. Where she will think that she can't go to this supermarket. She can't go to this place. In her mind, she's thinking these places are what's causing it. She really doesn't
these
know.
These are the triggers. Yes, exactly.
That's what she thinks.
Whoa.
So, but Anthony, I would suggest that you do get some therapy. That is a repressed memory. I'm so sorry that you had that experience.
Anthony, I have a quick question, and I don't mean to be intrusive, but you described...
No, not at all, Doc. By the way, thank you so much, Jeff. That was that was really wonderful information. Sure. I've never, ever thought of a correlation between what I'm eating and claustrophobia. That's amazing. I'm sorry to cut you off, Doc. What were you saying?
No, that is amazing. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
I just wanted to know, and again, I don't mean to pry or anything, but you described a flashback to an earlier time you said you were a kid where you were locked in a dog cage.
Well,
honey, did this happen frequently? I mean, was this trauma?
No, it did not. Okay. It did not happen. It did not happen frequently, Doc. It happened once to my recall.
Okay.
I was 8 years old. I specifically remember my age because it was very close to my ninth birthday. I do remember that. It was actually a week before friends were for just like a pre-birthday gathering. You don't have kids when they're young. They have all their best friends come together at your parents' house and have cake or whatever. You know, this was just kind of a week before. Had a few friends at the house. Friends' parents were there. Everybody had gone outside, and for my birthday, I had got a golden retriever, like a dog. And it came with a big cage.
Okay.
A buddy of mine at the time, Alex, we were just playing around, and he, you know, how you can only lock the dog cages, you know, you can only open them from the outside.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
And he, I went in the cage, we were just playing around, and he locked me in, and he left.
Aww.
And everybody was outside, and I was screaming, I was yelling, and nobody came for 20 minutes or so.
Oh, my gosh.
And the weird thing is, I don't remember this until...
Yes.
Until my MRI.
Anthony, it's Jeff again. This is a perfect issue to take up with hypnosis, because in hypnosis we can regress you back to that event and work you through it so that it doesn't bother you anymore and it's not in your memory and you can go on with your life.
So help
is on the way.
Yeah, and we can get you some information if you want to email me, docmichelle@AOL. Just to ask me some questions about my special guest today, Jeff Tannen, and he is a clinical hypnotherapist, and maybe we can give you some help. You're in the Los Angeles area?
Wow.
Are you in the L.A. area?
Yeah. I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Well, we can find some referrals for you.
Sure.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You're entirely welcome.
Thank you so much, Doc.
You're entirely welcome.
I love your show. I love you guys. And definitely going to use your advice.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for calling in, Anthony. We really appreciate you being so open about it.
Thank you. Okay. Have a great day now.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye. Well, that was lovely. What a nice person. I mean, how candid
yes.
is that? Scary stuff.
Yeah, he was brave.
Yeah, he was brave.
Yeah.
That's pretty traumatic, you know, when you're a little
kid. Yeah, I've heard some doozies.
Yeah.
That was one to go in the books.
You know, by the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio with Dr. Michelle. That's me, my special guest, Jeff Tannen. He's a clinical hypnotherapist and also a licensed psychotherapist. He's recently written a book, which is great. It's a thriller, a novel, and it's called Transference, about that old Freudian term, you know, that he coined about the things that we do. We transfer our feelings onto other people from our early experiences with other people. And it's a great thriller, and we'll tell you how you can get a hold of the book and a little bit more about Jeff. He does have a great practice here in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, we just found out before we went on the air that we're in the same building. So that's synchronicity. Eh?
Yeah, that's like that. What do they call that? Six shades. You know. Or,
yeah, that's right. Oh yeah.
You have to go
that.
so far to find somebody that's so close to you.
Yes, 6 degrees of separation. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
So. And you know, we were talking to Anthony just about, you know, how hypnotherapy could help him with his issue of panic disorder and also, you know, his fear of being claustrophobic. And there are so many other uses for hypnotherapy: weight loss, smoking cessation, depression, anxiety. I mean, you name it, folks. You can help with all of those particular issues if you have a certified clinical hypnotherapist like Jeff. But I wanted to briefly touch on one of your specialties, which is helping patients who are introverted. What a fascinating subject.
Well, I'm one of them.
Well, you know.
And that's why it's so near and dear to my heart.
Because you know what? I mean, that's right. We work on things that we are curious about ourselves. And by the way, introversion and extroversion were popularized through Carl Jung. And it said that folks who are introverted are sort of inward turning or focused more on internal thoughts, feelings, and moods rather than seeking out external stimulation. So you call this a misunderstood temperament. What does that mean?
I think there's some erroneous misconceptions about introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the top is that we're shy people.
Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
A shy person is like that girl who's dying to get up there and sing karaoke, but she can't. It's just painful to her.
Right.
The introvert just doesn't want to and prefers smaller venues, being with, you know, two, maybe three people, and is more into his own thoughts and inner world. And that is one of the things that separates him from the extrovert, who is a people, places, and things type of person, and gets their energy off of those things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's fascinating.
The other myth is that, you know, we're stick-in-the-mud type of people.
Yeah,
and
we're
not.
Yeah,
We like to have fun and are gentle, loving, fun-loving people as much as anybody. We just like to do it in a smaller venue, smaller doses, less people, two to three at the most. We don't like crowds. The other thing is that the introvert has a different style of suggestibility than the extrovert. And what that means, a little bit about suggestibility.
Mm-hmm.
Suggestibility is how we learn to learn.
Yeah.
You know, from the time that we are born until we're, say, 12, 13, we get all of our messages from our mother. She's usually the primary caretaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way she communicates to us determines our suggestibility. So if she's literal and she says what she means and means what she says, we will take that style and we will be literal suggestibles.
Yes.
If, on the other hand, we have to read the tone of her voice or read between the lines of what mother is really saying, that would then cause what we call inferred suggestibility. An example of that would be if I said to you, Dr. Michelle, I'm inviting you to a party.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd say, great. What time and when?
There you go. Well, that is an extroverted type of response.
Yeah.
It's a literal. A party is a party.
Yes. Yes.
An inferred response is, ooh, yuck. There's going to be all those people. I'm going to walk into a room full of people and feel exposed and naked.
Yeah.
I won't know anybody. I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's a reading a message underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's inferred suggestibility.
Yes, yes. That's fascinating. And it's, don't you think that people who are introverted are really susceptible to other people's, and I know I don't want to sound new agey and weird and all that, but I mean other people's energy. They're very intuitive and they pick up stuff because they've learned in their early upbringing from mom or whoever that you have to kind of read the signals. You have to read the body language and the tone of voice and the eye contact and those, because it was never really conveyed openly. So you become a wonderful translator, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. And I think that has to do with the inferred suggestibility, the reading between the lines.
Yeah.
They, the introvert gets so much out of a statement, more than the extrovert will, because they'll be just taking it for the literal message.
Yes, exactly. That's, you know, beautifully put. We have only touched the surface. No pun intended, talking about the subconscious. On, you know, these subjects of going deep into our minds and why we think the way we think and why we react the way we do, fears that we have, trauma from our early upbringing, how we transfer our feelings onto other people based on our experiences with earlier role models, caregivers, whatever. And you can find out more about this, by the way, and I checking out my emails. Thank you guys so much for emailing me. I'm sorry I didn't get to some of your questions, but Jesse and Callie And also, Stephen, want to know how they can get in touch with you, Jeff Tannen, to find out more about your hypnotherapy work and also read your book, Transference. So what's the best way to do
sure.
that?
Just go to my website, jefftannen.com, and on the last page is a contact page where you can insert all of your information and send it to me as an email.
Neat. That's great. And then you can find out more, especially if you're in the Los Angeles area, and I'm sure you'll be willing to chat with folks who are out of the area, like
Absolutely.
Anthony was as well, you know, about how, you know, they might be able to get help for things. And, you know, hypnosis is such a wonderful, viable therapy as well. So it's about that time. It's gone so fast.
Oh.
Thank you. I know.
Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
There you go. We did. Thank you so much for being here with me.
You're so welcome. I just want to add one more thing, if I can. I'm in the process of forming wellness groups.
Oh, great.
Yes. And what they are is small groups, 8 to 10 people, that form a kind of a bonding, a kind of a family. It's all confidential in a safe environment, and they get to sharpen their social interactive skills, work out their issues with me facilitating and giving them some information.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I teach self-hypnosis in the group. And
Neat.
I always finish the group with a group hypnosis.
Oh, I love
so,
it.
Yes. And I'm forming groups for everybody and then one just for gay men.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so you can find out about those groups and a lot more at jefftannen.com. T-A-N-N-E-N, by the way, that's the spelling. Thanks a million for being here. It's so nice to meet you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Been a lot of fun. All right, folks. That's about it. Darn, wish I could talk more. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's great to have you here. And next week, we'll be talking about how to get yourself together first so that, you know, you can have decent relationships. You got to kind of work on your own stuff so you don't, as Jeff would say, project your stuff onto others. Have a lot of transfers. Anyway, thanks for listening. And as I always say, do take care of yourselves first. You see, that's the way it works. And then you'll be great for other people. Not narcissistic. It's just the way it works. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day. You can stay on the couch. More great shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye now.